This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, quickly, before we get on with the episode, we've got an announcement. The MMA Fan Podcast is now sponsored by Free Train. Blake, what's Free Train?
Free Train is a fantastic company that do these amazing vests for when you run, when you train. Whether you're going for a run or hitting the bag, you can keep your phone close to your chest. And they're brilliant. They've got a little pocket for your keys. You no more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket or at an awkward angle on your arm or anything like that. You've got the vest on. Phone's there, easy access to it. They do some great gloves as well to keep your hands warm and be able to touch the phone and everything. It's all linked up with your phone. So yeah, they're a fantastic brand. A couple of pockets for your keys, everything you need when you go for a run or if you're hitting the bag training.
And you're not just saying this for the sake of it. Before they even become our sponsors, you had one of these vests, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I run with it all the time. But yeah, before they became our sponsors, I had one of these vests. They are genuinely brilliant. I really like them. And I'm really pleased they're our sponsor.
And if you want one, if you head over to freetrain.com, when you go shopping and you put all your stuff in your basket, just before you check out, if you put in the code MMAFAN, you'll save yourself 10%. Don't say we don't spoil you here on this podcast. 10% off. An amazing vest from Free Train. www.freetrain.com.
Right, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm one half of your presenting duo. I'm Stu Whiffin, sitting opposite me today, as ever.
Blake Harrison. How's it going, man?
It's all good, thank you, Blake Harrison. I'm very excited, as this is the first of many Cage Warriors specials today.
Yes, we've got interviews coming up with a variety of fighters this week. Also, Mr. President, Graham Boylan.
The boss man.
We hoped the boss, the big boss man. Big Boss Man. When I say that, I can just imagine him dressed like the Big Boss Man from the old school WWF days, in like a bad kind of like policeman's uniform that looks very store-bought if you rewatch that now. But yes, we have a special Cage Warriors week this week, leading up to the trilogy. Very exciting trilogy of fight cards coming up June 24th, 25th, and 26th. And today we have what you could say is the headliner, or one half of the headliners of the whole trilogy, Ian Garry. He is fighting in the main event, Cage Warriors 125 on the 26th of June. He's fighting against Jack Grant for the vacant welterweight title. It's the end of a little mini tournament that they've done for that. And Ian Garry is a special kind of interview, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it lasts about 5 minutes. He didn't have a lot to say, really. He was a pretty quiet fellow, wasn't he? And we just wrapped it up really quickly. Far from it. It was glorious. He's the future by his own name. Incredible. The energy that comes across is so infectious. It's one of the most exciting interviews I think we've done. It was incredible, right?
It's really great. I mean, I think he's one of the most exciting prospects in MMA at the moment. He's currently 6-0, but don't let a record of only six fights fool you. He's damn good. And he's just got everything to be a potential star. Mm-hmm. I think he talks incredibly well. He has a huge amount of confidence, and I know we've seen that before, particularly from another Irish gentleman. But he does it in such a lovely way. He's got a smile on his face, and he truly loves his job. Mm. He loves fighting, and there's something incredibly likable about him on top of this huge amount of self-belief. Mm. And it's a fantastic interview. There's a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
It goes to a few places that I wasn't expecting. but it's really great. You're in for a real, real treat.
Absolutely. Just a quick thank you to Cage Warriors for hooking us up with so many fighters that we're going to be releasing some episodes with in the coming week. So it's a big thanks to Cage Warriors. And also, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, then when you get to the end of this episode, go and have a look in the archives, because we've only been going a few months and we feel like we've been so lucky in the guests that we've had on. So let's reel a few off. Who can people go and listen to?
The huge one recently, should be out by now, is UFC featherweight champion of the world, Alexander the Great Volkanovski. We've also got an interview that will either be dropping very soon or has already dropped, because I'm not sure when they're getting released. But Angela Hill, UFC legend Angela Hill. Then we've also had the who's who, really, of British MMA. We've had Brad Pickett, JoJo Calderwood, Arnold Allen,
Jack Shaw, Brett Johns.
Oh, the list goes on and on and on. We've had
Molly McCann. And there's this other guy that was, he'd done all right in Cage Warriors, I think, and he's just signed a contract for another organisation. Paddy the Baddy something.
Oh, like, yeah, some guy called, yeah, Patrick the Baddy. Something like that. Yeah. No, of course, it's Paddy Pimblett. And
yes.
Hopefully he will have a fight booked up very, very soon. We're very excited about his UFC debut.
Can't wait.
We've got some absolutely fantastic interviews there. And also, if you want something a little bit more, even more lighthearted, we've had interviews with Lee Mack, with Ben Shepherd, star of The Inbetweeners, Emily Head, star of King Gary, Laura Checkley. So we're doing these very interesting...
Star of This Is England, Thomas Turgoose.
Yes. So we get a more lighthearted look at MMA, and we get these people to watch a fight, usually for the first time. A lot of them have never seen an MMA fight before, and we look at it, we sort of break it down, but we also talk about the kind of misconceptions of MMA and how these people felt about MMA before watching the fight, and then how they feel about MMA after watching the fight. And in pretty much every instance, people are realizing that there's far more to MMA and develop more of an understanding of it and an appreciation for it, which is always lovely to hear.
Okay, should we get on with it?
Let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Ian the Future Gary. Sorry again, guys. We're going to briefly interrupt the podcast to tell you about a new movie called Embattled. Embattled is starring Stephen Dorff. It's written by David McKenna, who wrote American History X and Blow. You will also see cameos from Tyrone Woodley and Kenny Florian in this film. And it's the story of a tumultuous relationship between a father and his son. And did I mention that both father and son are MMA fighters? So this could be right up your street. It's available from the 5th of July on digital download. Check it out.
There we go.
There he is. Hi, Ian, how you doing, mate?
Look at that. I've got a filthy fucking coat that I got yesterday. I look like I was some fucking skin and condition or something. Wrecked my hair.
We'll just say it.
Infuriating.
We'll say it's like lipstick or something. You know?
That's
we'll just
what I said. I said it looks like some birds just came up and planted around me as I tried to pull away. No, it's just a horrible bit of Velcro from the gloves, just frightened.
Oh, nasty.
And to tell you what, they're just irritating. But yeah. Do you know what? This is more than anything I've ever left to fight with.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get hit, lads.
Oh, brilliant. Well, look, we're going to go straight. I mean, whereabouts are you today anyway, Ian?
I am in my apartment in Dublin.
Nice.
Yeah, you can see the backdrop here.
It's lovely, actually. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, this is the new office me and the Mr. Setup. So we've got a nice We've got my 6 fights at the moment, so I frame all my shorts and all my clothes, and I get my favourite photo, and then the winning photo of the team. And yeah, we have a nice big wall behind us for when we get the belt, and the winning one up for that.
Oh, lovely. Nice one.
How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're good, mate. We're good.
Good, mate. Well, we're talking about belts, and we'll get to that, but we always like to start this podcast by kind of going back. And so, Ian, to start with, just want to know how you come to get involved in combat sports and why.
So when I was younger, I was always an active kid. I was always playing sports. I was from the ages of 4, 5, and 6, I was out running, playing football, like playing Gaa, which is an Irish sport. So Gaelic and hurling, I was off playing them with my friends. And then towards the age of 9, 10, I had an interest in boxing. So I ended up joining a boxing club. Had Jesus, God knows how many fights when I was a kid in boxing. Like, fell away out of boxing, broke my arm playing hurling, went back, club wasn't the same. So then I put all my time into a different sport. Decided I didn't want to do that anymore. Then I put all my time into judo. I got my judo black belt then just before I finished school. And when I went to college, I was like, you know what? This was just after Conor was complete, had been the double champ, he had done everything, and kind of MMA was booming, the energy around MMA and all was booming. And I was like, that's it, I'm joining an MMA team. And I haven't looked back since that day. It feels like about yesterday since I've joined that gym, and life has just gone like a flash.
So did you say you had, like, obviously there wouldn't be professional fights, but as a kid, you had, like, I suppose, what would they be, like, kid championship fights or amateur fights or anything like that?
There's no difference between, like, the mentality. Like, I was going in there, I'd say I had, like, 300 boxing fights as a child.
Really?
Dude, I fought from, I think it was 11 till 14, and I remember I was fighting basically more or less every Tuesday and Thursday night. Because I was one of the better lads in the country. And I was only tiny. Like, I remember, like, I think it was boy one, which is when you're 11, boy two is 12, boy three, 13. And I think I was like 36 kilos, 38 kilos, maybe 40, 42. But I think I had about 60 people in my division at one stage. And they were like, there's so many of us that we need to make it fair. So we just fought every Tuesday and Thursday for a couple of weeks in a row. And I ended up winning that whole competition. But it was just something I really enjoyed. And it's something to this day that I've always enjoyed is boxing. It's kind of like that would have been my roots. That would have been where, like, my pillar, my foundation, where I started would have always been boxing. But over the last couple of years, it's absolutely progressed into, I want to be a master at everything. Like, I want to be that good at everything. But no, I really enjoy it. I when I was a kid, they were big competitions. Like, they were good. They were really good. And it was a lot of dedication for a young boy to be doing, was to go in there, make weight. I'd always be dying for the chicken fitter roll or the breakfast roll you'd get after it. You'd go in, you'd weigh in the stadium, all this, and then you'd go get a chicken fitter roll and aspire down the road. And then you'd fight the next day or something. It was great crack. And I done it with a great, great team, great bunch of people that I enjoyed it with. And then when I went to go back after I broke my hand, a couple of them had left, and it wasn't the same. So, but it's a little club in Donegal called Trinity Boys that I will always have a special place in my heart, because that would have been where my first kind of memories of martial arts or combat sports would be. So I've still got friends to this day from that club, and I look forward to making many more throughout my journey through martial arts.
You mentioned that one of the big influences that inspired you to go and join an MMA club was the sort of global rise of Conor.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, as somebody, you know, from Dublin, how that meteoric rise to global superstardom impacted on young people in Dublin and the MMA community, and, you know, how many people surged to clubs to like you did?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it puts a smile on my face straight away. like the thoughts back to, because when I think about Conor's rise, and when I think about, obviously his rise was phenomenal. Everybody knows he went in, he done what he said he was going to do. He had the best time doing it. Like, it was amazing. But for me, I was like, I think I was 16, 17 at the time. And I was in school. So like for me, like when I'd walk in, I'd watch the fight on a Saturday night. And then I'd come into school on Monday morning. And that was where all the talk happened. I just wait to chat to my mates on school. Tutor class, so you get in with your class, the people that you're always in. And me, I remember the lads, there was always these lads, David and Peter, always just talked. David was mad into it as well. And we used to sit there, and every press conference, every fight, every time Conor got on the mic, we was like, who the fuck is that guy? All this shit. We'd just be walking around the halls and someone would just say something that he said in an interview. And it would just be screamed down the hall back. So for me, his rise brings back good memories of just, did you see that? Where you'd like, you see him, mate, and you'd like, did you see that? Oh, that, and you talk about it, and you just lose where you are. And that's what kind of that brings back to me. And I suppose that's what excites me about my career as well. It's like, I want people to have what I have. I want people to have that, like, excitement, that, like, talkative kind of spirit where they're like, did you see what that fella did? Did you hear what he said? I want to be the guy that makes statements, makes noise, and keeps consistently doing it time and time again. But yeah, his rise was phenomenal. It was something that definitely did light fire underneath a lot of younger teens, and like a lot of older people. I suppose it doesn't matter what age you are. It lit a fire on MMA, and people started to join it because of Conor. And you know what? I don't know. I probably would have ended up finding my way towards MMA, but if it wasn't for how well he did, I probably wouldn't have gone to MMA as fast as I did and put my head down and went, I'm going to do this.
What you've just said there in regards to you want to be somebody that, you know, makes these statements. And I mean, you're getting there pretty quick, mate. Like everybody, you know, the attention that's on you is not too dissimilar from the attention that was on Conor way back then. And with that in mind, I mean, confidence doesn't seem to be an issue from where I'm sitting.
For me,
But just how are you finding that kind of the attention that's on you and the pressure? Do you feel the weight of expectation of Dublin and further afield?
So I love people asking me this question because it's a very easy one for me to answer, in a sense of, no, I don't feel the pressure because I put more pressure on myself than anybody else in the world could. The reason I've got so much hype and like the confidence isn't like, it's not like I'm a cocky brick and I'm confident just beyond like belief. It's, I work my ass off day in and day out, 2 to 3 times a day. And I've earned where I am to this day. I've earned the skills that I have. I've earned the spot, like, in like fighting for the belt. You know what I mean? I've earned everything. Like, and that's my attitude is if someone says to me, they've done this, I'm like, yeah, I've already done that. Like and if I haven't gotten to that point, I'm going to do that. Just give me time. I'm on the road. I'm going to get there. Like, the path is set. I'm putting the work in. I'm working my ass off. I'm going to get where I need to be. It's just about time. Like, as I say to people, I am inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. It's just about time. Like, I could fight in the UFC right now if I'd put the time in and I'd got the contract. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not there yet. My career is just, it's one step up the ladder every single time. And that's why when I go into the fight, I put on the best performance I can. I don't rush anything. I'm not in there trying to panic. Nice and calm. It's like, you've worked here. Dude, you deserve to be in this spot. My coach, Chris Fields, says something to me every time we're out the back. And he brings it on himself. And it's a really powerful thing for him to say. Every time we just have a chat and I'm sitting there, like hands back, laying down on the ground or chin out sitting, because I don't like warming up. I just sit there, like we do a warm up and then I'm like, hey, I'm done. I'm like, I know what I'm going to go out there and do. Just, and like, I don't like people talking in my ear and like trying to beat me up. It's like, I know how confident I am. But Chris says to me, he was like, I love this. Like, this is my passion. but Ian, you're born to do this. Like, this is you. Because, like, when I get into that energy, when I'm standing at the back and I'm walking into a fight, no one has pushed me harder than me. No one expects anything more than I expect. And no one's going to do as much as I'm going to do in that cage, because it is all about me. So when you talk about pressure and you talk about, like, confidence, it's like, it's all been worked on. It's all, like, I've gotten to this point because I worked my ass off and because I absolutely enjoy it. Like, the reason I look so good now is because I absolutely enjoy every second of it. I'm sick and twisted up here. I love causing harm.
But that's effectively, it sounds to me like that's very much a cure for, you know, people talk about nowadays things like imposter syndrome, yeah, or, you know, just self-doubt and stuff like that. But for you, if what I'm hearing is correct, just the amount of work you put into what you do is the complete cure for that. You don't have to worry about self-doubt or imposter syndrome, because you know that for where you are in your career, you've done more than enough work to handle that.
100%. And, like, don't get me wrong, there is absolutely times where, like I will say this, I hate the day of the fight. Like, my coach Chris said it to me last time. He's like, go upstairs and chill out. You're fighting later on. I was like, no, I want to chat the ears off everyone here. Like, I don't want to think about anything. Like, I got to sit down at the table with the two of you and chat about absolute bollocks. And then just go, right, I've got to go to work. Like, you know what I mean? Because if I go upstairs and sit in my bed and I'm just sat there like that, laying down, I'm going, your brain just goes off on one. And you'd be like, what if this guy does this? And, well, he's really good at this. So what if he does that? And you're just like, I'm realistic. Like, I know everyone I step into the cage with has the potential to beat me. I mean, it's MMA. If my nana put on four-ounce gloves and hit me a solid, like, she could knock me out. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I'm invincible. Like, I walk around like I am because, as I said, I've worked my ass off to feel this feeling, but I'm completely confident in everything I've done to know that if I end up in the worst position I possibly could imagine, that I have a way out. That if mentally something affects me, I'm strong enough to go, you know what? Fuck off. Like, I've got something to work on. So that's basically it. There's no bullshit. There's no, like, fake persona or about anything. It's just literally, it is what you get. Like, it is what it is. You get what you get with me. It's like, I will never change. Like, I am going to be this confident, loud, like, tall, blonde fella that is just going to keep consistently being himself from day one to the very end. Like, you'll hear me before you see me. You'll go, oh, here's this. Oh, he's going to watch him. And that's always going to be the same. But, like, at the end of the day, the more I win, the more I have it. And it's like, right, well, if I keep winning, I can run my mouth all I want.
But do you know what? The thing that really comes across to me is that you have a slight, if I can use the word, slight cockiness about the way you do things. But you have also, you're using a bit of, like, self-deprecation in the way that you're doing it. And you've got a massive smile on your face. So... For me, that's a winner, because you kind of, I know that you know
what
you're saying. You're not,
and that's,
you know,
exactly
you're
what I say to my opponents. I know that you know I'm going to beat you, but you're trying to convince yourself that you're going to beat me. Now, I get it. You have to do that. But deep down, when I look at you, you know.
Well, I was more going for the, you know, how it comes across, and there's an element of playfulness which I think would make you a way more endearing personality as a fighter than someone that just walks in there and with no smile on their face, mean mugging people and all that kind of stuff, just kind of saying all this stuff. Mm-hmm. To me, as someone that likes, you know, fighters that I think are just nice people as well. I like people that have a bit of cockiness, a bit of humour, but also that element of, look, we're all just having fun and 100%. I love my job and 100%. All that kind of stuff.
Like, for me, when I think about stuff like that, it's... I can be a prick when I want to be a prick, right? Everyone has that in them, right? But I never want to come across as... I never want someone to go, he's a fucking dickhead. Do you know what I mean? I never want that, because I have, as you say, that playful attitude. I have that, like, people will call me cocky, and that's fine. A cocky to me isn't an insult. It's like, well, if you think I'm cocky, it's because you don't understand how hard I've worked to get to where I am. It's complete and utter confidence. And when I say something, it's not like I'm speaking complete nonsense. It's like if I tell someone I'm going to be a world champion in 5 years, and they go, "He's so tipped," you know what I mean? Thinking he's, I'm like, "Watch, let me prove you wrong. I'll give you a call in 5 years, and we'll talk." But like, I never want people to be like, "He's a prick," you know what I mean? He's wrecked my head. I want people to go, I don't know about him. It's just like I want to walk into into a room with a smile on my face. And I want to leave the room with a smile on my face. And I want people to think I'm a nice guy. But at the end of the day, if you say the wrong thing, like a week into that cage, say, you better run. Like, I'm like, there's no fucking about when that switch gets flicked. It's like, I'm on, like it's on. And like, I will do it with a smile on my face as well. I fight, like when I get to that flow state of me just fighting, it's like, yeah, all right. It's exactly where I should be.
But there's obviously plenty to be, you know, there's plenty of fighters out there, and if, like you, they're really good fighters, if you've also got that ability to be a really good talker,
yeah,
you've got to go with that, right? Because 100%. That's what's going to get the column inches. That's what's going to get people engaging, right?
Look, as I've said, I can sing, I can dance, I can talk, I can walk, I can pretty much do whatever I want. Look, I've said this before, right? I chose to do MMA. That's like all this bullshit of someone like, I have nothing else in my life. This is all I have. You're full of shit. Go to the local supermarket, stock shelves. You know what I mean? You're just being lazy. Go get a job. You're guaranteed to get a job there. What you don't want is you don't want the normal job. You just want to do MMA. You're saying, this is all I have in life. I'm sure it's not. But you just think it's the best thing to do because you want to be famous. I chose to do this because I love fighting. I love what I do. That's the scariest part when I look at the outside of me and I look at me and I assess me, I think that's the scariest part. I don't do this because I have to or I need to. I do this because I want to. Like I step into that cage going, all right, this is going to be fun. Let's have a good time. But it's like, that's my aspect of it. It's just like, I talk the talk because I know what I'm going to do. I walk the walk because when I win, I'm having the most fun I possibly can. And it's like, I could have chose to do whatever else I wanted to do. And I would have been the best at that if I wanted to be. That's the type of attitude I have. If I like I fucking love golf, right? And I've told everyone, I started golf a couple months ago, about 8 months ago. And I'm loving it. And I'm getting really fucking good at it. And I've told people, it's like, when I'm finished MMA, I'm going to be a professional golfer. And they're sitting there looking at me going, roll their eyes. I'm like, what? Don't doubt me now, children. Just give me time.
Oh, amazing.
Well, I'm really looking forward to Ian Gary the musical. When that comes out.
Mate, dude, I will absolutely put on a black jacket, dye the hair black, and be like, hey, my name's Danny. What's your name?
The last thing I expected from this interview was to get a rendition of Grease Lightning from you.
Dude, I'm so the chips of cream. Go.
That is one thing I find very disturbing about that musical, is that I was watching that musical from a very early age, and there's lines in it like, yeah, the chicks will cream.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're like, how is this allowed? My mum let me watch this musical at the age of like 7.
I remember.
Like, what's happening?
I remember when I watched it back and I was like, oh shit, all right. I'm pretty sure I watched that when I was like 8. Do you know what I mean? It's a good music, like it's a good film.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a very family kind of oriented, like it is cool, yeah. Like it's like a cool dude, that typical, like, but yeah, there is some stuff. There's a lot of stuff, like even when you go back and you watch like, The Simpsons and all, there's loads of stuff that you see from years ago and you're like, wow, that should not have been there.
As a parent now, I'll put something on like, oh, kids, watch this, it was great. Back in the 90s, we'll watch this, whatever. And there's so many problems with most of those films that I grew up on. Either they're like really like disempowering for women. I've got a daughter and me and my wife are like, we want to make sure, you know, she's watching things that empower her as like a young woman, all that stuff. there's so many films that you're like, oh God, well, we have to stop it about like 20 minutes in when we realize it's completely the opposite to that and all that kind of
that
stuff.
That just reminds me, like, when you're saying that there, like, my mom, if we were ever watching a film and like a sexual scene would come on, she'd like turn straight to my dad and be like, turn it off. Skip it. More like that gone. He's going, what's he gonna do? Like, it's a team, they literally can't show that much.
Yeah.
Which is like, turn it on now. It's
funny. Look, the main reason that we're talking right now is that, you know, you're fighting Jack Grant for the vacant welterweight title, June 26th at Cage Warriors 125.
Yeah.
When I look at the two of you, the thing that really stands out, and I think will stand out when they do, you know, the old tail of the tape and all that stuff, is the records. You know, that's the big thing that jumps out is you're 6-0, Jack Grant is 17-6.
Yeah.
You know, he's had as many losses of you as you've had fights, and he's had almost three times as many wins as you've had fights. So the obvious question when you look at that, which I'm sure you'll probably be getting a lot from people, is how much do you feel, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, how much do you feel experience will play a part?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are in this fight, and if you say not a lot, why?
Well, if I said experience on his point of view, it wouldn't be like experience is a lot.
Yeah,
like I'll sit here and argue that, like, I'm not stupid. Like, again, I've told you these things. When I say something, I'm realistic about things. Jack Grant has had 23 fights. He's not, sorry, someone's trying to call me there, lads.
Someone
tried to call me. I don't know how that happened.
It's probably someone that's directing the next Grease musical, yeah, like someone going on tour. Like, you know,
my head just
kind of
seeing someone's tapped onto my phone here from the States.
That's it.
Yeah.
Your Danny Zuko is going to be known throughout the world. Don't worry about it.
That was someone from Amazon trying to sell me a T-Birds jump jacket. But because you're really into it by someone. Someone's getting an earful when they try to bring me back now. Basically, look, experience means a lot. Do you know what I mean? He's going to come in here. He's not going to be nervous. Well, I mean, he will be nervous. He looked like he was shitting himself before the last fight, and I could see it in his eyes. And if he walks into a cage at me and isn't nervous, I'm going to have an easy night. I think he needs nerves. Look, Jack's a great fighter. And when you talk about records, it's funny because I'm like, all right, I've only had 6 fights. That's it. Like, I'd be 20 and I've had 20 fights, but I haven't. I've had 6. And when you say to me, oh, he's 17-6, I'm like, oh, so 6 other guys beat him. You don't think I'm going to beat him?
Yeah.
Six guys beat him in the past. Right. And in the last 4 fights, he's lost how many? 2? Okay. They were against guys that were lighter than me, smaller, not as strong, not as big, not as fast, not as skillful, not as smart. Not me. There is no me. can't get me. So I'm like, that's great. He's a good fighter. He's going to bring it. He's going to absolutely want to win this belt. He's going to want to beat me, right? Great. I love Jack. I absolutely love him. I have all the time. I've happily sat down with him and his team and just chatted to him for like hours before. I really get along with the guy. And he gets along with me and his team get along with me. As far as I'm aware. But like, that doesn't mean we're not going to win now and try to punch the head off each other. Do you know what I mean? I punch my best mates in the face every single chance I get when we're training. So for us, this is a job. And like, I am not worried in any way, shape or form about his experience. Do I think it will play a factor? Yes, potentially. I think he's been in a lot more situations than I have, purely due to the fact that they've been in fights. But then again, it's like, I've been training ridiculously hard for the last, whatever it is, 4 or 5 years. There's not many positions that I haven't ended up in. There's not many scenarios that I haven't been in the gym. Just the fights have gone so easily and I've made them look so easy because I'm so much better now when I step into the cage room. And like, it's just funny because every single person tells me in a fight, oh, I think this is going to happen. And I'm like, if it's not what I was told you is going to happen, then it's not what's going to happen. So I've called every single one of my fights till this day, and I will call this one exactly the same. It's I know what's going to happen because I'm going to go in there and do what I want, and no one can stop me. They can try. I respect that, but it's not how it works.
Just looking at the last fight, I watched it again today, and you look big, man.
Oh, dude, wait and you see me without a top on this time. I have put some work in. I have been nonstop working on that. Yeah, I am big. I'm getting bigger and bigger. Like, again, like my coach sends me photos of like 3-4 years ago and is like, what? How is that the same person? And I'm like, puberty done me well. It hit me late, but it's done fucking well. But like, I'm just like, there was a point where I grew this way and now it's coming this way. And I'm just starting to get bigger and my shoulders get wider, my chest get wider, for my legs. It's also hard work. Like, I'd never done strength and conditioning when I fought my pro debut, I broke my hand and I couldn't do anything, even though I knew I was going to fight my next fight pro with Cage Warriors because I'd signed the contract. It was only then that I started to do little bits of strength and conditioning. I had no strength. I was functionally strong in regards to like movement, like levers and my body weight and moving other people. When it comes to lifting weights and shifting weights and cardio, I was always fit. We just, again, every fight, it just goes up and up and up. I'm bigger, I'm faster, I'm stronger, I'm fitter. And I know you hear people say that every time, oh, it's the best I've felt, it's the best camp ever. It's like, no, I'm genuinely just, I'm on this trajectory and it's working. And yeah, man, I'm getting really happy with the progress in my physical like stature. Like my body is growing, like I'm getting more defined, I'm getting bigger and stronger, and I'm really happy with it because me and my PT, John Carroll, we put a lot of work on it, and I'm really happy because he is he's never been able to come to any of my fights live bar one, because we booked it in ages before. So he's gonna be in my corner for this fight, and we've been putting work in, week out, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, me and him sitting down talking about what we want to do and where we want to get to for this time. And yeah, I'm really happy to have him in my corner. He's one of my best mates. He's probably one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And he's a genius when it comes to training and conditioning. So me and him have been working our asses off. And we're getting to the point now where we're saying like today, even today we said 6, you know what? I cannot wait till this fight is done. And we get a UFC contract. And we're like, hey, John, we can fight in November or December for UFC. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 months before we even have to worry about like training. Can you imagine? Oh, Luke Rockhold better watch out. I was like, we are going to be the new best looking man in MMA once we don't have this shit on my face. You know, we'll make sure. No, that again, hard work. I'm getting bigger and bigger and stronger, and I'm really, really happy with the progress that's been making.
Can you see yourself in the future going up?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've said I'd love to go up and fight for the middleweight belt purely because my teammate James Webb and my teammate, well, my coach Chris Fields had it, and I just like to have like Chris, Webby, and me all having it. But at the same time, like, I'm not closing any options. I'm just saying I'm just taking this fight, and then we'll see what the future holds per se. But I absolutely can see myself fighting the middleweight. I think I smoke most middleweights as well. Like, I'm a big dude, and like, it's like I cut to make 77. It's like, so I can eat pretty much all I want and fight 84. It's like, great, fine, let's do it. I'm not scared of a bigger lad. Like, as if it's gonna, I'm still gonna punch him in the mouth, and he's gonna be like, "What is this?" And again, this is where I win fights. Like, not because of my physical size, and not because like I have that one punch knockout power that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, everyone knows Conor's got a straight left. It's like, no, I beat people up here. Like, I'm just smarter than people. That's so, doesn't matter what way it's at.
You spoke about the UFC, and one thing I've heard you say in previous interviews is you're not interested in being a short notice replacement for anyone. When you go to the UFC, it's because the UFC see value in you,
100%.
And they come to you and give you a contract. Like, what? That's a very confident thing to say, and it's very. I would argue that that's a when the contract's in front of you, that's probably a very difficult thing. But I don't 100%. The way you speak about it, I don't doubt you at all. I think that's exactly what you'll do. You'll wait for that right opportunity when the deal's right for you.
I absolutely understand where you're going with this one, and I do want to, like, there's the right place and the right time to take a short notice fight, right? If I go in and I sign, let's just go in the future. I beat Jack Randall, I win the world title, and the UFC offers me a contract, and they go, can you fight in 3 weeks' time? And it's like, well, I've just had, let's just say it went to this decision, right? Just so you're getting the longest fight you possibly can. Yeah. Well, I've just put my body to 25 minutes of hard work. I've cut weight. I want a break. I'm not going to go in and take a short notice fight against someone who's been ready for a fight at the same time and hasn't had what I've just done. It's like, that's pointless. I don't see the point in that. If I've gone in and I've fought my UFC debut and I went and I finished someone in a round and there's a fight in 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later and they go, oh, X has dropped out from the fight, I'm like, to Chris, want to step in? Like, I'll do it. And we'll see what he says. And that's it. That's when we do it. But I'm not taking, what I mean by that is I'm not taking a short notice fight for my debut. Because when I make my debut, that is going to be, I want that. Like, when, like, I do believe that UFC contract is inevitable. I think I'm going to work my ass off to get it. And I have worked my ass off to get it. And I think it's only a matter of time before I get it. And I cannot wait for that day. Like, I want to be the best fighter in the world, and the UFC are the best platform in the world for fighters, and everyone knows that. And as long as the UFC are the best platform in the world, that's where I'm going to want to be. So I want to get that contract. I will work my ass off to get that contract, but I also know my value, right? I know how big I can be, because as I've said earlier on, we can talk to talk, we can walk to walk, we can sing, we can dance, we can do whatever we need to. But I don't want to rush into this career. I want to go, right, when I sign my contract and I have my first fight in the UFC, I want people to go, holy shit, right, this is it, this kid's the next, this kid is the future. He is the next big thing. I want to go now and put a statement down, and I want to, and I will absolutely fight 3-4 times a year, consistently every year, because I don't get injured. It's something I try to stay away from. Like, I train smart. I'm not an idiot. My team aren't idiots. Like, we train smart. Like, obviously, little injuries happen every now and then, but that's because of the nature of the sport we're involved in. But I want to go in there and I want to make statement after statement after statement. And there will be a right time and a place for short notice fights. My pro debut, my UFC debut is not the time for that.
With that in mind, it seems that, you know, you've got a vision that that once you've got the belt, you're going to go to UFC. And you said about making statement after statement after statement. And if you can deliver that, then we know that, you know, you can make a hell of a lot of money in the UFC. However, there are other organisations where we're seeing not just kind of what initially looked at maybe fighters that had reached their peak in the UFC and have now gone it. Now we're seeing a lot of different fighters in Bellator, and we're hearing a lot of fighters saying that there's more money there. And so with that in mind, that's are you, is your kind of plan more about cementing legacy and ticking the boxes and doing what you want to do? And with that, you're confident the money will come from that.
You've hit the nail on the head there. Nail on the head. You know, what I want is for when like a podcast or people just have a conversation in the gym or the streets or in the, anywhere, and they go, who do you think is the best person in MMA? And they go, oh, and it could be GSP, it could be John Jones, Anderson Silva, Fedor, Demetrius Johnson, Ian Garry. That's the goal. And I respect anyone who steps into that cage. Like, do you do what you want, right? I'm not going to shit on someone's career because of their life choice and what they want to do. Like, I understand I'm very fortunate in the position I am to be able to work to where I want to be. And I don't have a family, like, I don't have a child to feed, or like, I don't have a lot of responsibilities outside of myself, really. So I can work for myself and better myself and get to the point where I want to be. But the best fighters in the world are all in the UFC. And I want to make a legacy. I want to make my name, and I want to have my name in that conversation. That is the exact conversation I want people to say, but Ian Garry's the best to ever do it. Like. And when I get to that point, as you've already alluded to, the money will come. Like, I'm not, like, I don't think if you sat here and asked me, would I want 100 million? Who in the world is going to say no to 100 million? Do you know what I mean? But, like, tell me in MMA, who's got 100 million? One person, two people? Connor? Khabib? That's about it?
Yeah.
Soon to be me?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But that's because they are global superstars. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you look back at I suppose it's not even a legacy I want to leave in regards to fighting. It's like, I want to be like a Michael Jordan. I want to be like a Tiger Woods. I want to be like a Conor. I want to take the sport by storm. I want to take over it. Like Messi, Ronaldo, all these guys that everyone just watches. Whether they know anything about the sport, they don't. They just watch to see the athlete, to see the work being done, to see the skill level, to see just pure excellence. You know what I mean? Like, just how the sport or how the game or whatever it is should be done. That's what I want. And that, like, the money will come if I do everything I say I'm going to do. I'm not worried about money. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, if I wanted to get paid, I'd go get a 9-to-5 job and work my ass off every day and make sure that I'm ensuring that I get a solid wage day in, day out. And I'm guaranteeing that when I have kids and my family, it'll all be paid for. But I'm not, because it's not what I want to do. It's not what I enjoy. I want to go in there and make a legacy. And yeah, when I do everything I say I'm going to do, I'm going to sit back here on this couch in a couple of years and go, yeah. Glad I made that decision, boys.
I'll be amazed if you haven't bought another couch by the point you said, like, 100 billion in the bank. I don't think that couch is going to still be there.
I don't know. I've said this to my missus. I said, even if we get, like, even if all goes well in a couple of years and we're getting, like, bigger houses, I'm like, I kind of want to keep this because it's the first house. It's, like, the first place I've gotten my own. And I don't care what happens. I'll do anything to try to keep this because of the memories. I've built this the way I pictured it, like the way we've pictured it, the way we've imagined it.
Yeah. No, I love that.
I'm definitely going to need a bigger wall.
You'll need a much bigger wall. You're going to have to start getting much more selective about which fight shorts you frame. You can't just do every single one.
Yeah, agreed. I tell you what, the purple and yellow looks good. I mean,
it looks really good.
They look solid. So
it does look good.
We've got it nailed. I probably will buy a new couch by now. Yeah, you're probably right. But this place will still be here.
Go on, Blake.
No, I was literally going to ask a really stupid question, so I think it's probably best that you go, Stu. All right, but I'm going to ask you that you beat, I think it was Rostam Akman in your last fight, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, it is Rostam Akman.
That was a semi-final of the welterweight tournament.
Yeah.
My stupid question is that he has to be one of, if not the hairiest MMA fighters I've ever seen in my life. Was he breaking like an etiquette rule there? Is there like an unwritten rule in MMA where you go, we're going to be grappling. How dare you have a hairy back?
Like, have you seen me? Not a hair on my body. You know what I mean? It looks like it's complete opposite,
You look so young, though, that it doesn't look like you could grow a hair on your chest.
Dude, I get like a little mustache, I have a little mole here, it grows a little bit fast, and I get a little bit of dirt, what it looks like on my
skin. Soul patch.
Yeah,
soul
a little patch. Bit of dirt. It looks like I left a bit of chocolate or something on my face. no, my dad told me that he couldn't grow a beard until he was... like in his 30s, like his face ran out of grew, and he was like, you're probably the same. I was under the illusion that that isn't like that, you're not allowed to be that hairy. I remember, I swore that I listened to something on YouTube or a podcast one time, and I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone, so I'm not going to mention any names, but I remember it was like, I think it was talking about like showering, like someone wouldn't shower before a fight.
Right.
Because they would stink and no one would want to grapple with them, which makes absolute sense, by the way. It's actually cheating the system. It's brilliant, right? It's ingenious. If I went to grab you and you stunk, I'm like, no way I'm going to do it. Do you know what I mean? You just want to get out. I'm going to punch you here. That's probably what your man wanted.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think there's a rule on body hair. But I tell you what, like, my coach was like slapping me, like they were all on my face, like on my face and the back of my hands. I picked up my gun shield, and the first thing I did was like,
No way.
I actually think if you go back and look at when I get my hand raised, I'm like picking it out of my mouth because it's just there. It's like, oh, it's filth. Yeah, it's filth. It's disgusting.
That is gross.
Again, that's the way he's built. You know what I mean? Like, of course he can shave it, but if he's comfortable and that's the way he's happy, then that's it. You know what I mean? Each to their own.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I've always thought that, like, because you see a lot of fighters that you go, you should be hairy, but I'm sure you must, like, shave. I don't know if it's, like, some kind of advantage in the grappling in terms of, like, being sweaty and slipping out of fights. I have legs like a fawn. Like, I have incredibly hairy legs. Like, if they wanted to make a Narnia-based show without any special effects, they should call me to play Mr. Tumnus, because my legs are absolutely ridiculous.
You're like... Narnia's a great film. Past in the past. Mr. Tumnus. It definitely is. Have you ever tried to grab a fish?
I've never tried to grab a fish. Some people may have seen me punch a fish, but you know. But I've never grabbed it.
Oh, dude, I completely forgot about that. That's so good. Honestly, I've watched that so many times. It is possibly one of the funniest things ever. Just the way, I know it's on the show, but just the way you just look at it, you just say that.
It was ridiculous. It was like 2 days before it got freezing cold. There was like a snow blizzard just came across the UK, and the fish's head was really hard. Like, I'm saying this to someone that punches people for a living, so I'm sure you've got no sympathy. But I wasn't even wearing 4 ounce gloves. It was just my fist, and it was, you know, it was a dead fish. But yeah, I didn't actually kill a fish, just for anyone worrying. It was, you know, it was a dead fish. But it was a really fucking hard head for my, like, weedy little hands. And it was freezing cold. And you know it's worse when it's cold if you get hit with a football or flick behind the ear or something like that. And my knuckles for the next day or two were properly bruised, like really swollen up.
That was meant to happen. I was meant to bring up a fish. That was meant to happen. Oh, that's it. That's the best thing to do, my friend. You punching a fish in a bowl. And the player gets shot at the middle of the harbour. Oh. Dude, man. I have to say, while we're on it, one of the best shows anyone could ever watch.
Thanks,
it's just brilliant. Like, it's absolutely insane. I can't tell you how many times I pissed myself watching that show. Like, it was just so fucking funny. It's brilliant, and I'd say it's cool for you to like look back at it and go, yeah, we were probably the biggest thing. one of the best series that's ever been out there. Because that was great.
Thanks very much.
I cannot believe that that led to the fish conversation. I cannot. that is the shit in life that I was absolutely meant to say a wet fish there, like a fish. Like I was 100% meant to say that, and that was what you were meant to reply. Like, that is it. But yeah, in regards to people being hairy, which is crazy conversation, you are off.
Drag the interview back. Come on.
It is when you shave your legs and your legs get wet from, like, I don't shave my legs, so I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. I'm so sweaty anyway. People do. It's like trying to, like, when people go fishing, they try to catch a fish. It's like, it just slides.
Yeah.
It's just had, it just, it's gone. And it is an advantage, but, like, stress it out. Like, I just go in and fight. Like, again, my aspect is, if someone is going to come up to me on the street and go, hey, do you want to fight? Am I going to, actually, can I just go home and shave my legs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just going to do it. So just do it while you've got. Same as before I talk about, like, middleweight. Like, all right. Yeah, cool. Let's do it. Like, I'm not going to ask someone on the street, like, what weight are you? Now, just to clarify, I've never been in a street fight. Touch wood, I never will be, because I don't have to absolutely destroy some poor bloke. But, it is definitely, it can definitely be used to an advantage, but I don't want to mess with the disadvantages of potential, like, locks and on the ground and my attacking sequences. So I'll just leave it the way it is and do what I've done in the past, because it's absolutely working. So,
Well, we spoke about...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Like pre-fight and leading up to that and size and stuff like that. So I want to just kind of, as we start to wrap it up, think of the more kind of fun things, which is, what's your routine post-fight?
Pizza and Skittles.
Pizza and Skittles. Everyone says, to be fair, pretty much everyone says pizza. Skittles is a new one, but pizza's one we get a lot.
I love pizza, right? Yeah. I think you hear pizza a lot, and then there's me.
Yeah.
After every fight, I'm like, pizza and Skittles. Skittles are my favourite.
Can you eat it all? Because we had Jack Shaw, I think it was Jack Shaw on, and he said that, like, he gets really carried away and he's like, babes, order the pizza. But then he has about 2 slices and goes, oh, now I feel a bit sick. No, you're just...
Like, you're going to eat that?
Yeah.
Cheers.
You're on it.
Oh, dude, I'm a horse when it comes to food. I don't even ask people, do they want pizza? I just buy like 4 pizzas and just put them on the ground and put them on the table and go, yeah, you can work away. And I'm just there eating everything. I'm just stuffing my ideal night after a fight is to eat so much pizza, sweets, be around, be in a good energy, a good vibe with the people I've worked my ass off with to get to the fight and the people I love. And then KO.
Yeah.
Go to bed, wake up tomorrow, and just have a big smile on my face. So yeah. That's there. Yeah. Post fight is pizza and Skittles and have a good fucking time.
Lovely. And what so what's your thing that you do to relax? When you're outside the gym, when you're either leading up to a big fight or even just after fights, what's your kind of like, I mean, you've mentioned golf. So golf, I suppose, is one of the things that you do. Is there anything else, or is that your main thing recently?
Golf. I really, really, really enjoy getting on playing some golf. I think it's competitive, but it's casual. Like I go out, you're talking about like nine holes is 2 hours, 18 holes is a 4 hour walk. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's not strenuous on the body. It's like, obviously I'm not going to go out playing the rain or shitty weather because I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to get sick by playing golf. But like on days like today when it's nice and warm and sunny out, it's like, I'll just go out in my shorts, in a t-shirt, hit a couple balls. If I'm on my own or with my mates, great. Like, it doesn't really matter. I enjoy going out on my own as well to think and just, I do a lot of kind of like visualization out there, and I'm like, right, that shot land, and then I'm just, it's also just time to not think of anything and just play, play the game and play golf. And yeah, other than that, I just like to sit in and just like listen to songs and chill out. And I have a lot of baths leading up to the fight. I like to sit in the bath, just lie down, put some like tunes on and just sit there and chill out. It's just like, I'm quite an easy going person, like when in regards to that, like I'm the most hyper like person you'll ever meet when I'm up and going, but I'm also like just chill at the same time. When I need to chill and need to relax, I am just completely relaxed. But yeah, so I would say golfing is my main thing to relax. And I really enjoy it. I will absolutely find the time, no matter what it is, to play golf, because I just enjoy the headspace and what it brings to me for the fight. Like that's definitely my relaxation, my time to just be me and chill out.
You mentioned visualization, Ian. So with that in mind, I've got two questions for you, right?
Yeah.
Jack Grant fight. What you're saying? How's that going to go? And then you sign the deal with the UFC. Dream first fight in the UFC.
Right. So Jack Grant is going to be Finnish, and I don't care how it happens. I have the shots in mind. I have a couple of shots in mind, but all can change in the next 2 weeks of training because I might pick up something else. I might cop on something else. But yeah, I will say it the week of the fight, probably. I'll tell a lot of people how I'm going to finish the fight the week of the fight, but it's going to be a stoppage, and I think it'll be early. I think it'll be... I'll give Jack the respect. I think he'll get out in the first round just because the pace will be slow. I think he'll look to come out and start fast. He's going to have to take me down. If he thinks he's going to stand at me, he's an idiot. He's going to have to try to take me down and sub me, which is hilarious because he's never been subbed in his life. In a pro fight, and people are all talking about, oh, Gary's going to get subbed. All his friends and family and his fans are saying, I'm going to get subbed. It's like, Jack tries to take me to the ground, I'm going to sub him. So good luck, because I have that ego that I will absolutely beat him where he's best. I think everybody in the world knows that I have that ego. Do you know what I mean? I will beat him where he is meant to be best, but I do think I'm going to finish him in the, let's say, second round. Mid-second round, 3-4 minutes into the second round, I think I'll finish him. I think he won't be able to handle the pace and he'll quit. And then in regards to the dream UFC fight, I don't really know. I've always said I'd like to fight someone like Mike Perry because everybody knows who he is.
Yep.
And he's someone at the moment who is lower down the rankings due to the bad run he has. But I also don't want to fight someone who's on a bad run. But I'd like to fight someone who's got a name. Like, I'd fucking love to fight Diaz. Like, I'd absolutely murder him. like, great. You're tough. You're durable. You absorb punches with your face. Great. You're not going to beat me. I'd love to fight him, but I generally, look, let's say Diaz, you know what I mean? Let's just say that big name, but it's never going to happen, but like, maybe eventually it will.
Maybe.
But The dream fight is whatever fight is going to get me the biggest fucking statement I can. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The future has arrived. That's what we want.
Well, I mean, I know we've probably run well over what our time was meant to be, but I have to ask one thing.
Go ahead.
Because it's been like something that slightly kind of made me go, what is that? And it's the celebration that you do. Right. What is it? I don't know what it is.
Right. Have you seen the GIF, right? The video of the little kid in a green t-shirt at the stadium, like I think it's like a baseball or a basketball stadium with his dad and his mates, right?
No.
And all the dads and the mates just sit there and they see themselves on the big screen. You know what happens? Like, way, right?
Yeah.
The dads are like, way with the points. The little kid, I do it. I'll send it to you. You have to know, right?
Please do.
The little kid, I'll do it. I have the photos and all here. I'll take this out 1 second for my phone to understand. Where am I going? Right. The little kid stands up. And he does this, right? He does this, right? And he does this one, right? It is the best thing. He stands up. And that's his natural reaction to being on the big screen. Everyone goes, way! And he's like, It's the stupidest, funniest thing in the world. And I send that to my, like, I send that gift to my mates all the time. And I'm like, this is me. Like, that is my reaction if I'm on a big screen, like, top off, like, jocked up. I'm going to send you it, and you're going to understand it, and you'll exactly understand what it is. It's brilliant.
It's way more wholesome than I thought it would be, because when I look at it out of, you know, context, as I have done when I've watched your fights, it looks a bit creepy.
It looks absolutely stupid, but like, it's hilarious. If you know what it is, you will piss yourself. If you don't know
I'm
what
gonna
it
love
is,
it from now on. Yeah. From now on it's gonna be my favorite celebration. I can't wait.
Me and my best mate, like, I will see my best mate when I'm driving down the road, and I'll be, like, in my car, and I'll see him, and I'll be like that. And he'll do it back to me, and it's so funny. It's such a stupid celebration. But, like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you're going to... And you know what? Like, my missus is saying, it creates engagement. People are like, what is that celebration? Like, that is...
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah.
I couldn't care if people say it's the worst celebration. Did you see what I did to the bloke?
Yeah.
Exactly. What is he? Snoring. You know what I mean? Face down, ass up. It's just something funny, and people love that. And like, when I didn't do it in my last fight, but the one before that, and people were like, what the heck? And I was like, I had to say something to the commentary. Like, in regards to this welterweight tournament, like, I feel like, not that I've been shafted, I think that's a bit aggressive, but like, I feel like it's been like made to slow me down. As in, I should have got the belt against Austin.
Yeah.
But no one else had a win in the division because everyone else shit the bed and lost. So they make this whole tournament to go, okay, we're going to have two guys that win, and then the winners are going to fight. So it's like, yeah, so just give me the belt because I'm not going to lose, and then find someone for me to win or to beat. And it's like that whole thing. It's like, I have to get on the mic and be like, this is mine. Anybody who wants that belt, they have to come see me. And guess what? Jack Grant wants to win that belt. He's got to come see me. It's my division. I'm the best welterweight in Europe outside the UFC. I'm the best welterweight in Europe in my mind. Do you know what I mean? And anyone who wants to have an argument with me about that, great. Get into the cage, come to my gym, and let's see. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to win that one.
Mate, it's been an absolute joy chatting to you. Can't wait to watch your fight. And best of luck, man.
Get that belt, that.
And mate, you are going to light up the UFC like a firework, man.
Dude, it's
going to
be like the 4th of July when I step into that trade. Boom. When I win now, people are just going to be like, what the heck just happened? Put on a show. Again, I want to make statement after statement after statement. I can talk the talk, I can walk the walk, I work my ass off, and I'm going to make sure I do this as best as I physically can. Well, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate the time. I appreciate you taking time out of your day and talking to me. And it's been great talking about punching fish.
No, honestly, mate, it's been great. I've had a lovely time. It's just the interview I've had with it went to the most least likely place when you started singing "Go Grease Lightning." So I will always appreciate that. We're definitely clipping that and putting it out there. So,
dude, you can do what you want with it. Once you put the clip of you and then you smash the fish in the face, we're good. If you don't do that, I'm gonna do that. The video of you just looking at it and then just going. But it's been a pleasure. I've had a great time. It's been a great interview. And in 3 weeks' time tomorrow, I'm going to go out there and become a world champion. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you about the journey so far.
Brilliant.
Maybe we'll be back on soon afterwards when I have this gold belt wrapped around my waist. And I'm sitting here going, hey, I told you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we'll hold you to that, man. We'll get you back on for that. And hopefully we'll see you again at some point soon.
Absolute pleasure, lads. And absolutely, 100%.
All the best, mate.
Thank you,
man.
Stay safe.
I mean, that was incredible. He, without a shadow of a doubt, is the future.
I mean,
I'm on board. I'm on that train, mate.
I'm with you. I've bought a ticket. I'm on the train. And if that train blares out some more Grease musical numbers, then I'll love that even more. You know, I did not expect him to bust out the Danny Zuko. And for those of you that are just listening to this is just a podcast format. I mean, he properly like swept his hair back as if he was combing it back a la John Travolta.
Yeah.
He really went for it. He's got a future.
The arm was out with the fingers for the Grease Lightning dance.
Was it
the
just...
The whole thing, mate.
I mean,
there is a guy that don't do anything by halves.
He does not do anything by halves, and I love him for it. I mean, it was such a great, great chat. And, he's just a fun guy. The fact that, you know, he is very confident. Some people are turned off by a huge amount of confidence. And I have to say, sometimes I am. Sometimes I find these people that are overly confident. And as a human being that's maybe not got a huge amount of confidence in myself, I'm turned away by overly confident people. But I didn't feel that with Ian at all, because he had such a smile on his face. He was really loving what he was talking about, what he was saying. And he threw in a little bit of self-deprecation as well, which always warms me to people. He thinks a lot of himself, but he doesn't mind bringing himself down a peg or two either. And that's a lovely combination to have.
Absolutely. And that self-confidence and talking about what he's going to do in his upcoming fights and what he wants to do. He was never necessarily disrespectful.
No.
About any of his opponents or anybody, and I think that's what, you know, that's when you get it right. And I think, like, yeah, the more cameras that are on that young man, the bigger star he's going to be. And,
absolutely. Yeah,
and I can't wait to see it happen. We mentioned at the beginning that if this is your first time listening, then go and explore the back catalogue. There's probably 15 episodes now, and you know, we've spoke to some absolute greats from UFC and Bellator and some people that you're going to recognise off the TV as well. So go and have a rummage in the archives of this podcast and see what you can find. And we're on the social medias, right, Blake?
We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. You can find us there. We're doing a little bit of fight news when we can, and we're telling you all about the podcast and the different episodes coming up. You may or may not see me in some kind of old-fashioned Russian military gear from the 1800s talking about these very episodes that you've now listened to. So we try and have as much fun with it as we possibly can. And we hope you're enjoying these, listening to these interviews as much as we are, talking through them and doing them. It's been a great experience so far.
Absolutely. Just search MMA Fan Podcast on all the social media platforms and you'll find us. Give us a like, love, share, retweet. Drop us a message. Let us know you'd like to hear us, you know, chat to, and let us know what your thoughts are on the podcast. We'll be back next time, Blake.
We will. Catch you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We
sliding, you're burning up, we sliding, go, we sliding, go, we...